club here past 9 already. All right. Good morning. I will call us to order in our capacity as Grange District Trustees on this January 31st, 2017, 9 a.m. And first item on our agenda is to accept the engineer's report on Drainage District Grant 5. But before we accept that, how about telling us what some of what you found?
Yeah. We have a report here.
This is Kent Rohde.
Kent Rohde with ISG.
Reports there for you. You have a report in front of you as well. You got some displays here that I like pointing to. You've got a written report, and then you have preliminary plans, which has the front two pages show these displays that I have in front of here. This display shows the overall watershed. This one that shows the overall watershed of the district, and this primarily the area from Lincoln Highway north. We've broken this down into sections. The open ditch here is the green area. First, I should back up, I guess. Initially, some time ago, we prepared a map and plat of the district that showed the areas that benefit from the facilities of the district.
Which are not wholly included in the existing district, which is how this came to us to start with.
Exactly. And, this area, shaded area in red, is those areas that we found that were benefiting but are not on the current assessment schedule. There's roughly 10,000 acres. Page one report refers to the 10,788 modeled acres, of which 8,879 are assessed. The district consists of one main open ditch, a short branch or short stretch of main tile, three lateral tiles A, B, and C. And the existing main does not even come close to reaching the upper portions of the district. However, there are private tiles in this area. And we tried to show those from some maps that we received from different landowners in the area, and there's certainly no guarantees to all of those are included. There's also five interior tile districts within the DD5 as well. A little history, the district was established in 1902. The main tile was originally DD62. This area was originally DD62. However, that was established in 1914. But then in 1924, DD62, this tile area was annexed into DD5, so now it's all DD5. So we did a survey. We looked, did a survey over the open ditch all the way from its outlet down here. Again, that outlet empties into an unnamed creek, which is tributary to the Indian Creek, and Indian Creek outlets to the south stump, and then to the south, then of course to the south stump, and eventually to the Mississippi River. Again, we did a survey of the open ditch. Found that there's areas of sedimentation, erosion, bank sloughing, trees, beaver dams, tile blowouts, some significant problems with the open ditch itself. We correlated our survey with the original survey, or original plan and profile of that open ditch to come up with a proposed profile that would restore those that open ditch to its original capacity. So that would be a repair. And as I would get to the main open ditch repair would be is referred to in our report as section one. And then there's an area between Lincoln Way, or Lincoln Highway, and 220th Street that we refer to as section two. I'll explain why we broke it up that way in a little bit. Then north of 220th Street, we refer to as section three. North of the open ditch, there's some an improvement option. The area in section two, to improve that tile, that existing main tile has about a 1/16 inch drainage coefficient.
In section two,
in the whole main tile has a 1/16 drainage coefficient. Today's standard is a 1/2 inch drainage coefficient. So that's
explain out real quick what that means.
A 1/2 inch coefficient is the amount of water that's removed in 24 hours.
So you get a 1/2 inch of rain, it should be able to remove it in 24 hours. Right now, we can handle a 1/16 inch of rain.
So if you get, for example, 1 inch rain, it'll take 16 days for that to be removed. Theoretically, that's...
For the record, our drainage district clerk just broke out laughing.
He's a pretty stoic guy, too.
And that's best case scenario, because we assume that the tile was at its original grade, in its original condition, which it very likely is not. There's probably sedimentation, there's probably displaced joints, and so on and so forth. So, obviously, the main tile is drastically undersized. We are proposing a new tile, or some alternatives to a new tile that would provide a 1/2 inch drainage coefficient, or 1 inch rain would be removed in 2 days for a tile improvement in sections 2 and 3, north of Lincoln Highway to the upper reaches of the district. There are some obstacles in section 2, one being the Union Pacific Railroad. It exists in that area. There's 8 tracks that currently cross in that area, about a 300-foot wide right-of-way. Is that correct, Jason?
400-foot.
400. So that's a significant...
This is in section 2 of the report.
Yes, of the report, which is just north of Lincoln Highway. Between Lincoln Highway and 220th Street. Okay. And so within that stretch, we're proposing option A, alternative A, which is a 54-inch diameter tile that would outlet to the open ditch just south of Lincoln Way and continue north through the underneath Lincoln Highway. Have to be bored under Lincoln Highway, continue north, bore underneath the Union Pacific Railroad, and continue to 220th Street, where we would then proceed with a 48-inch, and the sizes would gradually reduce from there north.
So right now, I'm picturing how Grant 5 crosses Lincoln Highway. There's a little box hole right there. But all that ground in Grant 5 that's north of Lincoln Highway is in the final stages of being annexed into Ames and is going to turn into industrial ground sooner rather than later. So it's going to roll out a bag. And so my question to you, Kent, is if, in fact, that's what happens there, would that change what you've got here? If you're not draining ag ground, all of a sudden we're talking about industrial ground. Because I think, so a couple things. One, I think we need to be really proactive in thinking about what this ground is going to be in the future. It's going into the city of Ames, and I think that happens here in the next, is it, I think it's February 8th that finally goes through the
they
state.
Want to finalize, Ames wants to finalize in March.
So it's going to become an Ames ground sooner rather than later.
That's what the state never
so anyway, yeah. That to me, that just applies to Section 2 of this report. It doesn't, it shouldn't overly impact.
And our design for tile sizes and the like is based on, again, the agricultural drainage needs of 1/2-inch drainage culverts. The need for industrial areas or other commercial areas is significantly different. However, let me go to alternative B.
Right.
Let me back up. Alternative A, tiles placed underneath railroads is a responsibility
right.
of
I was going there.
Or the owner of that tile, which in this case would be the
district itself. Okay.
Culverts, however, needed for improvements to facilities are the responsibility of the railroad. So that's a significant change in cost to the district. And also, the difference is a 54-inch tile has a significant cost as well. As you get into those upper ranges of tile sizes, that cost becomes significant.
What's under the railroad tracks currently?
There is 2 round culverts.
So they're culverts now, which means...
And the main tile of the district actually goes underneath there, too. And that's a 24 existing tile of 24 either the tile improvement or the open ditch would replace. So the open ditch then proposed would go from those box culverts under Lincoln Way, continue north to the railroad, at which time we would place a 54-inch jack and board culvert, which would be sized to
54-inch culvert or tile?
Culvert.
Okay.
For option, for alternative B, which is the open ditch alternative.
Yep.
A 54-inch culvert would be placed beneath the railroad to accommodate the drainage flow. Those existing culverts would be maintained to accommodate the larger flows from the 150 and 100-year storm events. North of the railroad, the ditch would continue up until 220th Street, where it would end and receive the outlet of the tile from Section 3.
So this is taking, option B would be taking what is currently my main tile up to 220, south of 220th Street, and turning that into open ditch.
Yes.
Okay.
And this terminates on where? On the south side of it?
The
open ditch right there.
The south. Open ditch would end at 220th Street. So the top end of the open ditch would be at 220th Street, which is the road just north of the railroad.
Right, and then it would run all the way down, it would cross Lincoln Way and feed into what is the existing open ditch, right?
Right. The open ditch begins at Lincoln Way.
That's why I'm saying that's why my assumption is this would go, you know, you start from what would be East 13th Street or 220th, and then go to the open ditch south of the Lincoln Way.
Correct.
Okay.
And then north, the tile improvement would continue with a 48-inch in different sizes. New sizes as you get north. There's also some are proposed branches to bring tile to the, bring access to the main out to the outer reaches of the district. For example, Robert Hamilton Incorporated. There is a private tile, I believe, that leads to the main, or to another private tile here. We are proposing an 18-inch, which would be branch G, so he would have access to the main without having to obtain permission from Black Dirt, from Farms, from Ronald Jensen, and the like.
Is there any mechanism to annex private tile into a public system like this, or are you going in and replacing? So he may have beautiful new tile that he's put in over the last few years.
And that's the thing that we don't know at this time, until such time as the hearing, or we hope to find out that information. If these individuals within this area want to improve their tile, we can certainly do that now. If they have a properly sized tile or an adequate tile that they believe handles what they have, that could become a facility of the district and be maintained.
Then all future costs would be district costs rather than private landowner costs.
Yes, and it would be a means to distribute those costs for any future improvements to those landowners that benefit. Okay. And that would be a separate schedule. Or we can propose a new tile size to meet the half-inch drainage measures. So there's branch A, there's replacing the existing branch A, there's branch B and branch C, C1 and so on and so forth. I won't go into those details, but
all right, so question on section one, which is the open ditch south of Highway 30. Can it accommodate more water? I mean, it seems to me, Darren, you know that one pretty well. It seems to me that it runs pretty full or more than full a lot of the time.
That particular open ditch is more so days and problems than a ditch.
Reaches out with various issues with trees, with surface drains that have been blown out, where water is overtopped and washed out, surface drains, pipes.
It does run quite full. I don't know if that's going to itself come out dependent or not. It's not water.
But
thank you for being with us.
Keep in mind the tile don't change the amount of water that drains to a facility. In with larger storm events, the tiles don't increase flow.
In larger storm events, they don't increase the amount of water, they increase how rapidly it moves, though.
They may. And it's a complicated and that actually was studied by the University of Iowa. Dirty word in this neighborhood, anyhow.
He likes them.
They do have a very good hydrologic program.
We're smart Iowans. I don't care where you live.
But they studied the effects of tile waters on flood and found that in most storm events, tile water does not increase flood. In fact, I compare it to the sponge effect, where a tile is running continually, draining those subsurface excess water that is there. So when a rain actually comes, it allows that rainfall to absorb and soak into the land. So it actually reduces. Initially, it reduces the amount of runoff. But at some point, you know, as you get to the larger rain events, that land is going to be saturated, and the same amount of water is going to flow over land as not always does. It'll keep water in that ditch more continually. The flows will be more continuous rather than having a large amount.
I'd also say the culvert under Lincoln Avenue is probably undersized. The one we just replaced on 580 is north of Holbrook's. That's the same waterway as the south downstream of it. So
we did not in our report did not consider the larger rain event. Or does that overtop Lincoln
Avenue? It has. It's pretty rare. It's so flat it just ponds. So.
We're proposing in this report is just drain dips to that culvert. Considerations
in the city maintenance culvert. They may looking at the development.
No, there's a lot of moving parts here.
Some flooding. Yeah. This is a big project, and as you get to the cost estimates, as you see later here, you get to criticize that as well. But overall, the costs to the watershed, I think, are relatively, because it is a large watershed, are reasonable. You want to jump to that, I guess.
Let's talk about Section 3 first, which I view as the northern end of the drainage district.
Yes, and anything north of 220.
Anything north of 220. So we talked originally, Kent, about the possibility, or if it was a possibility, of creating a new drainage district with both what's currently in Grant 5 on the north and what's being served by Grant 5 on the north, but not in Grant 5 on the north, and flowing it down to the west of what is Grant 5 right now and getting into the Skunk River quicker. Is there no possibility of doing that?
There is a possibility.
Okay.
However, there was not a petition for a new drainage district.
Okay.
Or the bonds to support that.
But that could come out of our public hearing when finally we get to that.
Potentially. But let me explain some things first here. In the upper reaches, there is a tile that we found that crosses out of the district.
Right.
From this upper portion here, there's a tile that comes out of the district and flows out along the west area of this watershed that is not a drainage district.
Correct. Right, which generally means the water is going to flow down along the east side of I-35.
Right. Right. Flows all the way down here and ends up down here.
Yep.
But anyhow, the surface waters do not flow that way. They remain, they stay in drainage district number 5.
Right.
So that in and of itself complicates things some.
Sure.
So my proposal with this project is that if you improve the tile, that tile that exits the district should be cut off. All those lands should be brought into the new proposed
and
tile.
Have both surface and subsurface draining through the district.
Draining the same path. That makes benefits a lot easier to determine and calculate under a new reclassification, which of course would be required with an improvement. So I think that would also relieve a lot of the downstream problems in the county conservation area and any of those areas just west of this watershed. If you take this tide water and get it off of this area, that should help. I think after this is completed, you then look at that area and see if it was. Then make it a, there would definitely be benefits to making that area a new drainage district just for the fact that you have the means of assessing costs for any repairs and improvements. Now it's not.
It's on each landowner on their own to handle that work.
I see that area as being developed as well.
So everything that I'm looking at in red on the north end of the district, surface drains into the district.
Yes. There's no culvert underneath the road where that tile crosses the road. So that surface water has to flow into the...
If you put a culvert in, what would that surface water do? Do we know that?
A large part of it would go out.
Would go out of the district. So it is possible to surface drain that water rather than into Grant 5 into this fictional new drainage district if it were created, which would relieve some of the flow that we've ultimately got to accommodate in the bottom reaches of Grant 5.
But then it would create a need for...
You'd have to have a drainage, you'd have to have a new drainage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm not suggesting this thinking that we're saving anybody any money, because everybody, you're spending the same money. My question is, what would make the most sense when you look out 10 or 15 years? Would it make more sense to really beef up Grant 5 and bring all of this into Grant 5, both surface and subsurface, or would it make more sense to limit? Yeah, hard to think about limiting it to something this size, but not create more.
The thing is, I think the water in that and the surface flows in that area go both ways, actually.
Right.
Probably. So you would still have some going into DD5 and some going out of the district.
If you gave it a method to get out of the district.
Yes. If you put a culvert through that road.
Okay.
So right now, the surface waters solely go into DD5.
Okay.
And if you put a culvert there, I think you'd have water going both ways. Anyhow,
so before we get to dollars, what else do you have to tell us? Because I want to just talk through kind of process.
Yeah, that's a general overview of Section 3. Section 4, it's all the branches.
Right.
They're kind of each on their own. What those individual landowners in that watershed of each of those branches may want to do. Add all of them, we could add one, two, or any.
Yeah, so branches should be considered sub-districts, right? They will be a district into and of themselves for what happens within that area,
more
but then they're going to have responsibility for everything that happens in the overall district.
Right. And they would have their own assessment schedule.
Right.
Under classification.
It would mean that somebody in the far south of the district would not be paying for anything that happens in a branch that's up above them.
Exactly.
Right now, they have to pay for everything that happens within the entire district.
I talked, understand the railroad right-of-way crossing. The tile is the responsibility of the district. The culvert is the responsibility of the railroad.
Right.
According to the code law.
And we just dealt with the UP on one of these. So we got a little history. I won't call it fun history, but we got a little history in dealing with the UPS.
However, as a side note, we do not have a signed
agreement. That's Richland 20 we're talking about.
That's Richland 20 I'm referring to. So, well, let's talk dollars first, and then we'll get to the receiving report.
The capacity, in the appendix, we have a detailed capacity highlighted in yellow those areas. Again, this is just the existing main tile and those three branches. You can see the existing main is all 12.5% or less. Highlighted those in yellow that are less than a quarter inch range coefficient. The costs are in appendix C, and I think I'm going to refer to the summary, which is the first page of this cost. A lot of numbers here, apologize for that, but it's laid out in divisions. The work is division one is on the work on tribal land, division two is the work in the county road right away. That would be the responsibility of the secondary roads department. Division, and there's also division two, that there's several division twos. One's the county right-of-way, one's a railroad right-of-way, one is where we have a branch tile crossing the interstate highway. And there is non-construction costs, which can include multiple things. It can include the damages that would occur during construction that would be reimbursed to those landowners whose land that occurred. It would include the cost of financing the project over the time of use of warrants. It would include the cost of right-of-way. And right-of-way is proposed. Right-of-way is not specifically laid out in the records that we found, that we looked at. So the existing right-of-way should be established. In our report, we established that as 80 foot wide, because originally the code allows for this. They would have needed right-of-way,
right,
to do the work to construct the ditch at that time. We assumed about 20 foot outside the top bank would have been needed. However, with today's methods of construction and so on, we recommend 100 foot with right-of-way. Also, examining the property records, we found that that land, or there is no land taken out for right-of-way on these individuals' property records. Lands within the district right-of-way are not to be taxed. Currently, they are taxed. However, they seem to be taxed at a much lower rate, or at a lower rate, because of CSR values that they assign to this area. To me, that needs to be corrected in the assessor's office, where this right-of-way is taken totally off their tax bills. Right-of-way for the existing ditch would be again expanded to 100 feet. There would be needs for right-of-way where we extend that ditch in section 2 as a new open ditch, and that would be totally acquired. And that cost is calculated in here as well. There's a tabulation for that right-of-way in one of the appendices. We've assumed a $10,000 cost for that area within top of bank. We've assumed something like $2,500 for those areas outside the top of bank until you get to that 50 foot on each side. Landowners still have the benefit of sufficient use of that property, so a reduced land value is assumed for that. Looking at these costs, again, then we have a total cost, which includes all the divisions, the non-construction cost, then we have assessable acres. Now, the assessable acres, of course, for the open ditch repair is the total area within the district. The average cost per acre, these are just average costs, is $49. Because of the large number of acres, that's relatively small. Section 2 did not separate out. We assume that if you do Section 2, you would do Section 3 as well. And for that whole area, if you do Section B, which would, alternate B, which is extending the open ditch, would also be the most cost-effective for the district. That cost per acre for the main tile, extension of the open ditch, would be $576 per acre, average.
Right. That's not what would be assessed per acre, because that's dependent on benefit.
Correct. Landowners could pay 2 to 3 times that cost depending on their benefit.
And some could pay a third of that.
Exactly. Then if you continue on the right side down through all the branch tiles, those costs are just for those acres that benefit from that branch tile. So you can see those costs, they vary by quite a range just for the fact that some are smaller watersheds than others.
Yeah, the cost isn't spread over as many acres.
down in the blue below, we've included the total cost for sections 1 and 2B. The total cost, the total assessable cost is the far right number. The total cost, including all divisions, which that isn't necessarily the cost to the landowners, but is that what the project cost? And for 1, 2B, and 3, which doesn't include any branches, the total project cost would be $2,789,900. The cost accessible to the landowners would be $2,324,900.
And that's based on the railroad paying for their own coal?
Yes. And secondary roads paying for any road crossing. Then the bottom number would be if you did all of the branch tiles. Okay, we talked about, didn't talk about work limits and damages. You know, we would limit, have a work limit area where the contractor would stay to limit damages. However, damages would be determined at a completion hearing. Landowner that has crop damages or the like would be determined at that completion hearing, and they would be paid for that. The right of way buffer strips, landowners would be encouraged to obtain waivers for any buffer strips that are along the open ditch or in other any other areas. They can request waivers from the county committee, the Farm Service Agency, for the district to do that work, and then they would be reimbursed for restoration of that CRP buffer area and through the completion hearing the damages method. Wetlands. Core permits would need to be required for extension of that open ditch. Based on the previous projects, I don't think that would be an issue. However, if there's any wetlands adjacent to the open ditch that would be considered jurisdictional, certainly spoil placed in those areas would have to be, some accommodation would have to be for that. And I think we can, if that is the case, we could accommodate that. Probably the bigger issue is farm wetlands, which is determined by the Natural Resource and Conservation Service. I would expect there could be areas of farm wetlands within this watershed. The NRCS considers if an improvement is made to the district, any of those wetlands would be considered to be converted. That can be a large issue in with improvement projects. We don't know where those wetlands may or may not be. That has to be requested by the individual landowners and given to us or the trustees of the district for that to be considered. If there is an effect, first they consider all wetlands to be converted. Second, then you have to prove that there is no effect or cause and effect if that is the case. Or three, you can appeal where that wetland is. It can be a complicated process. There is a new method of determining wetlands that our experience seems to be a little more forgiving. What is a wetland and what is not? I can't put that, but that is more uniform throughout the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Iowa, and it has kind of wetland. It seems to be a better method. Also, I believe if you can prove that the existing tile is not functioning as it was originally intended, which I think can easily be done here, it can be shown that potentially some of those wetlands can be looked at again and maybe found to be much smaller or maybe but we're getting into some areas here that should be complicated, time-consuming, all that.
Well, this was as complicated for a lot of reasons as anything that we've looked at in my time on the board and as a Drainage District trustee. And then you add the reality of what's happening with Ames annexing and going industrial to the whole equation. I don't see any quick solution to this. So, I mean, normally you come and you present a report like this and we try to get a public hearing set and we try to move on so that we can try to get to something in the next year or the next 2 years. And I don't see this one moving that fast, but I think this one needs to move.
Drainage is a slow process to begin with, just from the way the code is laid out and the time procedures that are required. And I agree. I think initially here at the first hearing, we're going to get a lot of information and get a lot of conversations occurring that will lead to future hearings.
Absolutely. Multiple hearings.
With more information obtained at each progressive hearing. Another thing we always have to bring up is water quality. Water quality is, everybody knows, is at the forefront of everybody's conversation when you're talking drainage. I've included a section in here about water quality and some of the preventative and control and treatment measures that can be accomplished.
Right.
I also want to, however, quickly state that we did not look at what treatment measures could be utilized in this district. I think that's a much further investigation, depending on landowners and stakeholders' interests in pursuing something further in that regard. However, I do want to say that there is funds available through the Water Quality Initiative for treatment measures that reduce nitrates and phosphorus in foam tile outlets. Any of those treatment measures could potentially be 100% funded. The opportunity also exists with that regards if there is a location for a treatment wetland, that wetland could be used as mitigation for any potential farm wetlands that are within the district. That could be significant. If you have a wetland that's paid for and then able to use it as mitigation, we did not include any mitigation costs in our cost estimate. And it would have been just a stab in the dark to do anyhow. That would increase any of these costs if there is a mitigation cost and if there's mitigation available to begin with. There's some type of short supply. So that's something. Annexation, I think, going through, that would be a separate process, a separate hearing process. I think we've shown that there is, those areas are receiving benefits, material benefits that are specific, and that they can bring their waters and bring tiles to their, and drain those areas that are in that area. Reclassification. For any improvement would be required. And if the district or trustees find that you're just going to do the repair, I would still recommend the reclassification because the existing schedule is one schedule and it's not separated into the main any of the branches. So anybody in the lower portions of the district would pay for any tile repairs or improvements in the upper portion.
Did you put together any numbers that show what just repair would cost?
Yes. In that summary, just the open ditch repair is $531,000.
Okay.
And keep in mind that the non-construction cost being high, that's more than just engineering.
Right.
It's damages, it's right-of-way, it's...
Sure.
It's, and attorney fees, it's publications. That is an average cost of $49 for each acre in the district.
Okay, and that's just the open ditch. That doesn't even address any tile issues that we might have up above. Okay. Thank you. And so, Marty, I think you've heard me say this before. By law, the reality is the trustees are required to maintain a drainage district to its original specifications, which that is the repair portion of this.
That would be a minimum of that.
Right.
And really, I mean, if you wanted to push that through first, while some of this other stuff goes on, you could, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great conversation between us and the landowner. So, first thing is we need to accept the engineer's report on Drainage District Grant 5.
Move to accept.
And I'll second. Any discussion? Chi.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. The report's accepted. Now we need to talk about setting a date for a public hearing, which I'm going to call more of, it'll be a public hearing, but it'll be more to get input from landowners rather than making a decision on that night. So I'm saying to you guys, talk to your neighbors, talk to the landowners. This is going to be a long process to get through that. We're going to have, Darren, we're going to have some major conversations with Ames on what they see. Ken, I'm going to ask you, when we're dealing with a project like this where there is potential to do some water quality things that not only could get paid for, but potentially paid for and paid back to the district at the same time in creating some of those mitigation banks, we need to look at all of that. So I'm viewing this first public hearing as not a place for answers. It's going to be a place for questions and a place to begin the conversation. I'm suggesting that we would do that somewhere near the end of March before you guys are really out into the ground. I don't know what the thoughts are on that.
It has to be at least 40 days.
Yep. Right. Hey, I mean, I'm picturing an evening meeting. We'll send out notices to everybody in the district. The way these things work, there's going to be panic that all of a sudden we're going to spend, you know, $4 million to do something. And so I'm just saying now for the record, for you guys to share, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having to start the conversation because something's going to happen. And what happens and how it happens needs to be the landowner steering that. And I think it starts with an evening meeting with this room or maybe we go somewhere else that accommodates more people to do that.
March 14th is the early.
Yeah, that's our public hearing.
That's spring break.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm kicking it off 2 weeks. So what would that be? The 28th is what I'm thinking in my mind.
So the week of the 20th would be the Monday after spring break. So going forward from there, the 28th would be fine too.
Yeah, the 28th. So is there a night of the week that's better? Marty, is there a night of the week that's better over here?
Not where we use Wednesday as our church night, but yeah. Then again, I don't know that would necessarily affect the...
So I don't like Monday night, so I'm suggesting Tuesday night, and I think that's March 28th, that we would do a public hearing.
That actually works well for me.
Darren? We make that work, Marty?
As this would just be days away from a good portion of this district being City of Ames, are they going to be drawn in here?
Darren and I are going to set a meeting sooner before then to visit with the city.
I think that their input on this one would be just, I'd be very interested to hear what they got to say.
Well, I think there's actually a way. I mean, now we're getting put in the cart way ahead of the horse, but I think there's a way that as they do their planned development out there, that this be incorporated into that, and it could actually mean less cost for the property owners talking about doing that Section 2 work. If we incorporate that into the whole plan.
And I do recommend attorney be involved, particularly with the railroad process. I'm not comfortable with where we're at with the 20 right
sure.
now. We're kind of more at their mercy than I want to be.
Yep.
I think the code has very strong language in there that we can be more forceful.
Right.
Procedures are handled according to the code and notices made to them in the proper manner.
No question. This one is also a little different than DD-20 in that there are existing culverts under the railroad tracks. Where we did this last one, it was a tile that we converted to a culvert, which in my mind at least is a little different.
Well, there were culverts in DD-20 too, but they were far, far undersized.
Right.
And that in and of itself was an issue as well for them. And they had erosion into their bank. There's a number of issues there. But they are just dragging their feet way too long. It's very frustrating.
Yep.
All right. I've included, I think, you and a lot of the conversations and emails have been occurring. And maybe my frustrations went through on some of my emails. I don't know.
It's moving slower than any of us would like. Okay, so if March 28th is good with you, okay, so make that motion.
I would move that we take this issue back up on a March 28th evening meeting at a time to be scheduled here in the future.
Yep, and that would be a public hearing, and I'll second it. And I'll just underscore one last time, trying to make the point, we're not talking about making a decision on that night. We're talking about informing everybody of where we are, how we got there, and what our possible paths forward are. So with the motion and the second, any further conversation?
None.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. We're set March 28th at an evening meeting. And right now, off the top of my head, if it's available, I'm thinking of taking it over to the community building at the fairgrounds. Give us some space. So we'll do some checking. Do we typically send out notices to all property owners, Scott?
Yes.
All right. So everybody will receive something in the mail. Does this include everybody currently in the district and those we're talking about annexing, or does it just refer to people?
It would include the people in the annexation area.
As well.
You don't have to, but I think
we should.
We included them in the first meeting. We also included them for when we presented the watershed study. So they are already involved. We should probably also get some names for Ames departments.
Sooner rather than later, Darren, probably you and I need to slip over and visit with Ames.
And the railroad. Okay. Well, the railroad is an owner, so they'll receive something. Right. And I'll send it. There's a couple of railroad people that have asked me to send them something specifically because they don't necessarily get our mailings.
Well, and I'll ask that Jessica Reynolds, our county attorney, be involved in this one from first step. We'll take lessons learned from DD-20 and dealing with the railroad and try to move ahead. But like I said, I think this is years. Not to say that something couldn't happen sooner rather than later, but this is years for us to get to the end of this. If there's nothing else, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Something else, man.
Wow.